Aubrey Davis. It may be a few months early, but take a leap with me in the calendar to the month of March, to the one day of the year when the beer mysteriously turns green, the shamrocks come out, and the Chicago River changes color.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day is a great cultural event to us. It's when we can show our pride in our Irish heritage.
St. Patrick's Day is just a day to have fun and express, you know, your pride of being Irish.
Incredibly, about 40 million Americans claim to be at least partially of Irish descent. St. Patrick's Day brings out the Irish in one and all.
This is the best place to celebrate it. I mean, you know, nothing's better than New York City.
Ah, but there is one place that's better. And that's where we'll take you this St. Patrick's Day for a one-hour show called The Real Patrick. A poet in the Middle Ages called Ireland the land whose love gives you no rest. You'll understand why. We'll introduce you to some of the finest of Irish arts and culture, featuring conversations with top musicians, storytellers, playwrights, poets, recorded in their homes and pubs and workshops. Like a trip to the studio of the virtuoso Uilleann pipe maker, Eugene Lamb.
When I first heard them, I just got tickles up my spine. I suppose as a kid, I had heard some fiddle music. And although I came from a part of the country which hadn't a lot of traditional music played, I loved it. So when I heard pipes, I just went crazy for them.
Lamb's studio on the barren west coast of Ireland lies just outside Milltown Mallbeg. This tiny town of 800 people expands to accommodate 8,000 visitors for the Willie Clancy's Summer School, where every pub and street corner features the best of traditional music, while classes and concerts bring together players ranging in age from 8 to 80. Sean Potts is founding member of the Chieftains.
This is why I attend this school every year for the last probably 20 years now. The teachers selected to teach in this school here are absolutely steeped in this glorious tradition, and they're handing it down to the young people who come from all over the world.
And we'll explore the preservation of ancient Irish tradition at a place called Glenstall Abbey, where the musical life of this humble community has brought them international acclaim for reviving the music from the golden age of Ireland's monasteries.
There would be, more unconsciously than consciously, a wealth of tradition, which can be a weight of tradition. It's not always positive when you're faced with singing stuff which is technically really beyond us. In the doing of it, the adrenaline usually enables us to rise to the occasion.
We're standing here looking out at the mountains of Mourne, Slieve Donard in front of us, the highest mountain in Ulster. And just down below us are the marshes of Down.
And we travel to Downpatrick in Northern Ireland, where a huge block of granite with a Celtic cross and the single word Patrick carved on it marks the legendary site of the saint's remains.
Nobody knows where St. Patrick is buried. It is quite likely that he's buried somewhere on this hill, and it is very, very likely that he's buried in this area.
And we'll go exploring with one of the distinguished archaeologists of Ireland, Dr. Patrick Wallace, director of the National Museum.
Can I walk into a Viking house with
you? Let's do it. Yeah. Go in the front door.
Wallace gives us a walking tour of Dublin, where Viking excavations in the heart of the city take us back over 1,000 years.
There's the part of a Viking sword. There's a slave collar that we found in our excavations. There's a striker light for striking a match. There's just a decorated panel. And there's a spearhead there, a piece of a musical instrument.
We'll visit a new museum dedicated to the history of the famine, tour Dublin's legendary Abbey Theatre, and stop in at the pub of John B. Keane, author of The Field. Plus, novelist Maeve Binchy talks with us about her American following on the eve of the release of her new Hollywood movie.
And I get loads of letters from American people who are terribly, terribly good at writing letters. Sometimes they don't have an Irish background. They may be Italian or Greek or Jewish background. And they say, your childhood was the same as mine.
And the rock group The Hothouse Flowers talk about their roots in Irish traditional music as they take the most contemporary of musical styles around the world.
We just come from a musical background which is traditional, but which is also modern. You know, we grew up in the 70s and we're into the kind of punk music and so on. And then later on, we were exposed to a lot of R&B and soul, gospel music. But we also were brought up playing traditional Irish music.
Minister of the Arts, Michael D. Higgins.
Culture is not about temples and buildings. It's about people's lives. People's lives as they are now, informed by the past, and being prepared with certain openness and care for the future. I see culture quite differently. I see culture as involving all of the ways we interact together, and I see the arts, in a formal sense, as only one part of that. So it's bigger than the arts. It is, in fact, a debate about tradition and modernity, about North-South relations on the island. It is one about the Irish abroad and the Irish at home. It has to be taken on like that, and it has to address the most significant problem we have, and that is how we will work at the end of this century and into the next one in the best way that suits our both our personality, personally and socially and nationally.
Whether or not you or your listeners count yourselves among the millions of Americans of Irish descent, no one can tell the story of this wondrous culture better than the Irish themselves. I'm Robert Aubrey Davis. The Real Patrick is available to stations this March from PRI, Public Radio International.